John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Hello and welcome to Guano with Barno. You're Barno.
I'm Barno.
I guess that makes me the Guano, doesn't it?
I guess so.
Which makes me think of Ace Ventura, Guano.
Guano?
Yeah.
Barno is my nickname. One person calls me Barno, and that is Barry Castagnola, the comedian.
Oh, does he? Lovely Barry.
Yeah.
Lovely Barry. I hadn't seen Barry for years. I stepped out of a lift in Manchester. The doors opened. Barry was there.
Oh, what a joy.
What a joy. You never know how you're going to be greeted by someone you haven't seen for a long time, because I've had it go the other way.
Oh, yeah.
But me and Barry had a lovely cuddle, and we had a catch-up that evening. It was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, loved Barry.
I had a similar experience with another comic where a train pulled into a station. It was like a film. It was like a brief encounter. The train pulled in, and I was stood at the door as this other comic was at the window.
Yeah.
Greeted me like we'd never met. But I'm not for everyone. But if you've chosen to spend your time with me, this is your podcast time. I'm very grateful. It's a very funny show today.
We've had a lot of fun today, haven't we?
We've had a right laugh. We have discussed... Well, we discussed early memories and hometowns, didn't we? It was all a bit nostalgic early doors.
It was, because we'd both been to our hometowns recently. So,
yes.
You know, we were a bit misty-eyed.
A very funny email at the end from Glenethley. Stay tuned for that. By the time you listen to this, some of you will know whether Leeds United have won the championship or not.
Some of you won't care. Mm-hmm. Oh, Johnny, you're right.
So I think it's a... I was going to say national significance, but let's say international. A lot of you will know whether Torquay have been promoted. Producer Willie's staring at me now as if to say, do the podcast link quicker.
Because I've got to get to
Let's get to the game. But it's a cracking show. If it sparks off anything in your imagination and you would like to get in touch with us, john@absoluteradio.co.uk is the email. Take the pauses out. That's not where you should tap the space bar. That's just my inability to read my own name and the station I work at.
You'd think you'd know it by now. How long have you been doing the show?
Yeah. Not many left now. We're almost done. Enjoy the podcast.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Chats we have before we go on air, eh?
As the faders went up, I was telling you about my eczema.
Yeah, we were all discussing eczema because of unfinished business. So welcome along. It's John and Angela here with you for the next few hours. Some people don't tune in every week. Would you believe?
Weird, isn't it?
They don't join us from the beginning and they don't stay till the end because of their lives.
Oh, people with things to do on
quote
a Saturday.
Unquote. Oh, it's chilly out, isn't it? Chilly out, isn't it? And it dropped again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if you've not been out, I won't bother.
We thought spring was coming.
Oh, it tricks us every year, doesn't it?
We fall for it, don't we? Every year.
Sun's up, though, isn't it? So you've got lots of time to be awake and think about doing stuff. Anyway, if you haven't been with us from our inception, if you weren't here last week, this is what you missed. Two nuns in a bath.
Whoa.
No, different angle last week, wasn't it?
It was a bit, yeah.
Went on a different way with it. Now... here's the main thing you've missed. So a few weeks ago, I revealed on air that I don't read all the emails that come in, they get screened.
You're
by...
You're too important, John. You've got things to do.
I got so much to do. I'm too busy reading graffiti, correcting it. Will screens all the emails, just as a little, just because I'm one of those guys.
Yeah.
I'm just one of those guys. I can't resist having a laugh. I said, oh, why don't you text in about any itches you've got? This is getting on for a month ago, this now, wasn't it?
This has been a real runner, this, hasn't it?
Oh, it's still going on. They're still coming in, the itches, for Will. So we're putting an end to it this week, aren't we?
You said that last week.
This is itch amnesty. This came in from James this week.
Oh, hi, John. I know on your show you've been talking about things that make you itch. So a few years ago, thought I'd let you know that I came out of a rush that was all over my entire body, which was incredibly itchy. So, yeah, to cut a long story short, I ended up having a course of sunbeds on the NHS. Lucky enough, I didn't turn out orange. All ended up well in the end, and my itching is no longer there. So, yeah, happy days. Hope you have a good show. James. From Hemel Hempstead.
A course of sunbeds on the NHS.
Yeah, that was a bit like the old fast show, wasn't it? Which was nice.
Yes, exactly.
That was a bit. Anyway, long story short, got sent by the Beeb to Mallorca for a month. So, lovely.
Oh, suddenly I'm feeling itchy, John.
Do you know, the problem is, I love it. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I was...
You enjoying the itch
segment? I was gripped by that one. Didn't know where it was going.
an all-over body rash.
Pleased to hear from Will as well that that is a heavily redacted message, and there was actually a lot more detail about where the itch went.
Is this Paul?
This is James.
Oh, James. Sorry, James.
Paul's coming up now. This is the last itch.
James, about the other itch you told us about, I suggest GP is your next stop.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You'll probably end up getting a series of massages for free on the NHS or something, which was absolutely lovely. So this is it. That's the problem is I'm really enjoying it, but this is it now. I'm playing Paul's itch, and then I'm saying don't send any more itches.
Hi, John. I know itching has been mentioned on the show for the last couple of weeks. I currently don't have any, thank God, but a few of my friends did back in the 80s, and we used to say to them, yeah, itchy chin, mate. Does anyone else remember this term for fibbers? Paul from Wales, living in Northern Ireland.
Chinny reckon.
That's exactly Jimmy what he said. Chinny beard.
Yeah.
We used to call it, chinny beard, mate. I don't know what variations there are. I loved that voice, mate. I loved everything about
it. His accent.
I loved the Wales now living in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
That was like the first chapter of a novel. But why, Paul? Why? How did you get there?
There's so much to find out.
Will you be coming back to Wales? We just don't know, do we? And just the vagueness of a lot of my friends had itches in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was a big thing in the 80s, wasn't it?
I don't think we want to know any more about that.
Yeah. Bang. 1989, December 31st, they all cleared up. That's it. 1990, not a scratch in Wales. I guarantee it. I don't know what we're going to talk about if we don't talk about your itches, but there'll be something.
This is very much coming from Will, all of this. You know, nothing. That's it. The itches are over.
But that's true, actually.
If the listeners want it, you know, we are a listener-led service, surely.
I think it's our best stuff.
If it's
really
what the people want.
Charlie's saying she doesn't want the itches either. So if it's both of them, then what it is it's less that it's coming from Will, it's more that it is coming from station management.
Okay, fine.
We're bordering on a reprimand here. So if you want to talk about anything except itches, and I can't stress that enough, no more itches. 8-12-15 on the text. 0-3-0-1-2-3.
You sounded worried about that then.
That O was a real Oh dear, 0-3-0-1-2-3-12-15 on WhatsApp or John at Absolute Radio. No.co.uk. Tell you where I stayed when I went back to Lancaster and Morecambe this week where I grew up.
Oh, lovely.
You know where I stayed? In the hotel that I used to work in.
Did you?
Is that a bit tragic?
That's not that posh hotel we stayed in Morecambe, is it?
No, the Midlands.
Oh, that was blooming lovely,
that was. No, I worked at the other end of the spectrum, shall we say.
It was a place for every hotel job.
It was a Forte post house when I was there.
I remember them.
Yeah, they don't exist anymore. And I worked in the restaurant. It's the most unattractive works tie I have ever seen in my life. It was sort of orange and blue, sort of really weird shapes melded together. It was a real gesture to design that tie and make people wear it.
Is it so if you spilt baked beans down it, you couldn't tell?
Maybe it was beans and tomatoes and things like that. It was, you know, sometimes you'll go up to someone and think they're working a shop just because they're wearing like a white shirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There is no way on earth you could ever mistake anyone. There's nobody in the history of ties has worn a tie. Do you work here? Oh, no, I'm an absolute moron. This is what I think is
no
acceptable fashion.
My other tie is a Homer Simpson one.
Yeah. I went back to the hotel and I tell you what, not good memories.
No.
They said, do you want breakfast? And what I didn't want to say is, well, no, because 30 years ago I watched a man climb into that breakfast buffet and have a nap. So I'm afraid I still can't eat the fruit from it. But I don't know how it's a very odd feeling going back to somewhere where you grew up, I think.
It is, because it's so familiar, yet things change.
Yeah.
So we were driving into town. I was with my husband, and he was looking. He said to me, "You sound about 90 years old." Because I was going, "Oh, those flats used to be the tree ball
factory,
the same." And that used to.
I went to the estate I grew up on, and I was trying to look for what we used to call the big dip, which was just a big, massive bit of grass with a hole in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And that's half of my childhood is rolling down that, and then spotting a piece of dog mess, and it's too late because gravity's already taken hold. You know you're going in it.
Oh, no.
but it's gone. I wanted a moment where somebody, this used to be Big Dip, didn't it? Now it's houses. But I think when you grow up somewhere, you're too close to it. So I don't know what Lancaster, when you said what's Lancaster like, I don't know.
No, because really, it's just part of your DNA. It's just in there. It's just in your head all the time. I have this weird, I won't go into it too much because it's a bit complicated, but I talk about it in my current tour show, John. This weird thing about my thoughts in my head all exist in places from my past.
Yeah.
So when I go back to my hometown, Maidstone, it's really weird because there are places I think about all the time, but they change. And I go, no, that's not right anymore.
Yeah.
It really bugs me.
I've thought a lot since we spoke about that thing where people remember everything from their lives.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the name for it now, but I think it's given me a level of stress.
Really?
The idea of remembering everything, and it's pointing out how little I remember.
Oh, I don't remember things. Have you got one of those friends? In fact, I saw her the other day, my friend Jo from Maidstone, and she's one of those people who remembers things from our childhood. I've known her since I was 6. And I go, did that happen? She remembers everything.
I don't trust those people. And no. I don't trust those books. When I read books, I think, there's no way you remember that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd be very interested to know, genuinely, the most oddly specific memory people have from their childhood.
Nice.
Because I think they're made up, those things.
Yeah.
I read books, I think you're a 6-year-old and you remember a conversation you heard between two people in a newsagent. Syllable for syllable. Absolutely nonsensical.
No way.
But you can text them in 81215. You can WhatsApp or 3301231215. You can email John at absoluteradio.co.uk. You can also tell me what Lancaster's like, because I sort of don't know. I think if you visited, you'd absolutely love it.
Yeah, beautiful canal. I've had lovely times in Lancaster. It's a beautiful looking place.
Beautiful place, lovely theatres. I don't think many people have been punched in the face there quite as often as I have. And I think that shapes my memories of it. So Karen's been in touch.
Yeah.
Odd hometown memories.
I like this one.
Yes. It's got an emoji in it. Are you comfortable reading it and navigating the emoji?
Okay, I'm just going to... All right, I'll give it a go, John.
It's just I don't want to get fired yet.
All right. Well, as you're the name on the show, you can't get fired, so I'll give it a go.
Yeah, you've got a tour going on. You've got stuff, haven't you? You've
got
a partner who makes you breakfast. You've got a good life going there, Angela. You don't need this.
Okay, so Karen says, hi, John and Angela. My vivid memory is when I was about 8, my sister and her friend put me and her little sister in a baby bath and pushed us out over a cesspit. Of course, we sank and were sat surrounded by the stuff you get in a cesspit.
Yes.
There we go. I navigated that emoji quite well. I thought, cess.
Cess.
Surrounded by cess.
Covered in cess, we were.
Head to toe in cess.
Absolutely reeking of cess.
Will's got his head in his hands. Is he all right?
Has, I think he's all right. One of us is going.
She says she remembers it like it was yesterday, but wonders if it's more trauma-based. Yeah, that sounds quite traumatic.
Yeah, I think there are those moments. The first moment in life we go... That stays, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I went back when I was in Lancaster. I walked along the estate I grew up on, backed onto a cycle track. You could cycle into Morecambe, and we built just the most incredible den.
Oh, I love
a
den.
It was on a hill.
Right.
So it was like having a sort of townhouse because it had different levels to it. There was a tree right at the bottom, so you could sprint down the hill and then grab onto the tree to break when you wanted to leave. It backed onto Big Asda. So if you went out the top, if you went out the back window, you were on Asda.
So you could just go buy sweets for the den and
you
stuff.
I'm just nipping to Asda. Out you go out the back. We'd found like smashed up like Game Boys and stuff, and they were our computers. And we had
amazing.
A little desk. We had a pipe, and we buried a pipe from the top to the bottom.
I had like Sherlock Holmes image in my head. You were sitting in there smoking pipe. No.
Yeah, we were very northern. Very northern.
Flat caps,
get dog up there, light pipe. School's been a nightmare this week. No, we buried a length of pipe so you could go to toilet at the
top.
So
you had a sewage
and it would run out.
In your den. This is the most John Richardson thing I've ever
heard. It would run out onto the cycle track. It wasn't very polite to the cyclist, but it kept the den clean.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went back and thought, I wonder if I can find it, because I felt like, it's near the bridge and it's near, we're backed onto Asda car park, so it must be about there. As I was walking up, there was two bigger boys, who were probably men my age that I was probably scared of 40 years ago when I lived there. And as I walked past, I heard one go, well, you can't do that, can you? Because if you report that now, you'll get arrested. And I thought, oh no. Ooh. I was really frightened. So I just carried on walking and I found the den. I was so excited.
Still there.
It's not the
place.
The little patch of earth we used to run up and down and the little side bits that were our different offices. And I thought, I'm going to take a picture and send it to my mate. And I got my phone out and the bot went, oi! And I went,
it's a bigger boy.
I put my phone away and I carried on walking. I turned around and realised he was talking to his dog. His dog had just gone to go to the toilet on the cycle track and he was telling his dog off, but it was too late then.
You didn't go back and take a photo?
No, I didn't. I just absolutely chickened out and I carried on walking as if I wasn't going to take a picture of just a bush with a bit of pipe buried in it.
Why would somebody be telling you off for that?
I don't know. When you go back to where you grew up, you become...
You regress, don't you?
...the six-year-old of old. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. We didn't have phones when I lived here. I don't know what's appropriate with them anymore. Anyway, odd memories of your hometown, keep those coming in. John Ritson, Angela, John Ritson, Absolute Barnes.
Absolute Barnes.
Angela Radio.
Absolute Barnes.
Okay, I'm becoming obsessed now with what people's earliest memory is, because I'm convinced most of them are lies and that you just remember something either you've been told about repeatedly or that you just, over the time, I've got a picture of me drinking a beer outside a pub. I don't know if it's a northern thing or a working class thing.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I've got a picture of me drinking...
Maybe in a pram, massive pint. And I feel like now I can remember that.
Yeah.
I definitely can't.
I've just been told about it and seen the picture. Yeah, definitely.
Dale's been in touch,
hasn't
he? Yeah,
Dale. He says...
Still waiting on Chip.
I don't... Hey. Oh, wow, that is a reference.
Rescue Rangers.
Absolutely.
When there's danger. You know they'll never fail. I can do this for 3 minutes if you like.
Shall I do the text?
Do the text, yeah.
Yeah, let's do the text. So this is from Dale from Folkestone. That's not far from Maidstone. Says, I remember... That's where I'm from. I don't know if I mentioned that before.
Places are near places on Absolute Radio.
He says, I remember my first birthday cake already... I'm doubting you, Dale. I'm sorry, Dale, but I'll carry on.
Does he mean, like, on his first birthday?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the first birthday cake he remembers.
They didn't give him a birthday cake till he was 27.
You're doing a cake for a one-year-old?
I reckon.
Fair dose.
Well, he says, it was a green train engine with Smarties on it, and I remember everyone clapping as I blew out the candles. He says, I know this is a real memory because we don't have any photos of it.
That's not how proof works.
It's not, is it? It's the opposite. If you'd have photos of it, then that might be...
Otherwise you'd remember everything that there wasn't photos of.
Yeah, that's right. And maybe your parents and the rest of your family can't remember your first birthday cake. Mm. So you could have had a dream about your first birthday cake and they've gone, yeah, it might have been a green engine with Smarties on it. We'll go with it.
Next sentence is intriguing.
We don't have any photos of it. Outback Australia in 1983, so maybe a lack of cameras.
Yeah.
I think the heat's got to him, that's what I think.
I think he's Crocodile Dundee, that's what I think.
Do you think?
I think he's gone walkabout.
Are you now picturing Dale with a hat with corks on?
Gone walkabout, next thing on our big cake there, Smarties all over it. And I know that's real because there was no photographs.
Your accents are so good, John. Do you know that?
Thanks so much.
Really impressive. He says, everyone was shocked when I told them I remembered it years later. He says, I then blacked out for the next 5 years. That'll be the Castlevania 4X, won't it? That's what that'll be. Until my next childhood memory. Love the show, Dale from Folkestone.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dale, thank you for listening. Keep in touch. I'm fascinated by anybody who remembers their first birthday cake and then nothing for 5 years. We need to have a chat. Keep those coming in, 8 12 15 033 or 123 12 15 on WhatsApp. It's time for I Love You But.
Nice.
It's one dedication a week. This week it comes from Claire.
Hi John, I'd love to give this week's one and only dedication to my husband Dave. Dave, I love you, but saying you don't need to wash your legs in the shower because the water and suds run down that way anyway is not okay to wash yourself. I love you anyway. From Claire.
Wow.
That's going to kick off as well, isn't it?
I can see this has been a real debate. John, do you wash your legs in the shower?
What do you think?
I think you do. I think you lather up one of those scrunchy things.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I've got images in my head, I don't want that.
Yeah, go on, keep talking.
And I reckon you're head to toe in lather and then rinse it all off. That's
what
I think.
Like a big Yeti.
Like a big Yeti.
A soapy Yeti.
You do a big soapy beard.
Yeah.
And then,
Do you think I'm a leg washer?
No, I don't.
No? You don't think I'm a leg washer? No. Do you think I'm a leg washer?
Of course.
The women think I'm a leg washer.
Although Will's sitting closest to you, so maybe he can smell your legs from there.
Can you smell my calves? I am a leg washer. Yeah, I am a leg washer, and you're pretty much right. Although nowadays I do shampoo first because I've bought a special kind of shampoo that I have to leave in.
Get you!
It's because it's going to stop me losing my hair. It is because they said it on the advert on Instagram. And if it's not, they'll be hearing from my lawyers. And then I wash my legs. Everyone washes their legs, don't they? Because you're in there anyway.
I mean, the thing is, I do wash my legs, but I can sort of see his... But when he said it, like, the soap runs down and... go, well, yeah, it does, doesn't it? But that's the soap that's carrying the dirt from the rest of your body, isn't it?
Oh, how dirty are your shoulders, Angela? I'll tell you what, this is going to run. So we're talking about first childhood memories and now we're talking about how filthy your shoulders and legs are. This next track is from Claire and it's for her husband and all the dirty-legged people.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show.
Happy Saturday. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes on Absolute Radio. Will and Charlie in the studio. Woo! I'm not supposed to use that woo anymore.
Did you remove Jeff from the whoop?
Jeff has not been AI removed from that whoop.
Oh, so that he'll is be the listening and he'll be cross.
Now departed producer Jeff.
I bet he texts in now.
Do you think so? Yeah. He ain't listening now, is he? He's not sad enough to go back and stay at a hotel he used to work in when he was 50. Now, it's a particularly smug time of the week, I think, across the airwaves.
Saturday morning.
Yeah, I've been shopping, I've done the park run, you know.
Clean the drive, jet wash the drive.
Taught my daughter grade 8 piano in 20 minutes while I was just while waiting for the blueberry pancakes to cool down. Not a fan of that. So this is just our little moment to just bring people down a peg or two, just remind them of, you know, the context of the world. And I start with you, Angela.
I
would say I'm amongst the least smug I've ever been. I had a conversation with someone this week about, I said I'd read a book.
Right.
And then it transpired I had listened to the audio version of the book.
I think that counts,
but the conversation, I lost. You know when you lose?
Yeah.
Like, it was like a football match. I lost.
You lost that conversation.
I came away feeling like a six-year-old who said, yeah, I've just read a book. Oh, what was it? Oh, it's about this caterpillar, right? But he's starving. I felt like an absolute child. So I don't think I've read a book for years. It's
so weird that you brought that up because my smugness
reading books.
Is it?
It is, because I set myself a little challenge because I like reading.
Yes.
And... But I just, you
what,
know...
actual books?
Actual books, John.
Old school, mate.
I know. I get with it. Well, part of the problem is I spend a lot of time scrolling, and I was like, no, I've got to stop this year. I spend too much time scrolling Instagram.
Yes.
So I need to pick up a book more often.
Yes.
And so I set myself a challenge to read 4 books a month.
Yes, one a week.
Right, one a week. And I've kept up with it. We're a third of the way through the year.
So you've done it up till now, end of April.
So I've been keeping score. And
superb.
My little, I've read 17 books this year.
That's excellent.
I've just finished my 17th book.
Oh no, I'm not supposed to say that, am I?
You're supposed to take me down, John, remember?
Yeah, that's awful, mate. What a waste of trees.
Yeah. It's all right, it's on Kindle, most of it.
Oh, what a waste of electricity. Is it? Because then I listen to them on audio as well.
Yeah, there you go. So what are you
you're sort of missing
is this
the performance.
What, you can't take me down?
I'm trying to remember whose joke it is that I love. Books are good, but not if the acting in your head is no good.
Oh, I can't think who that is.
Oh, I know who it is. Tony Law.
Oh, yes.
The great Tony Law. Books are good, but not if the acting in your head is terrible.
Yes.
It's a wonderful joke, and that's all I would say is I'm listening to some of the great actors of our time reading these books, and I don't think your performance is as good as theirs, Angela.
I think you'll find that I have quite the range.
Do you? In your head, can you do accents?
Oh, in my head, I can do them
and
perfectly.
Can you do the... Are you good at accents?
I can do 3 accents.
Go on, then.
I can do generic Northern.
Yeah.
Just about Australian.
Yeah. Just about Australian is a wonderful description.
And my accent.
And yours. I don't think you can count your own. But I will allow it. But I just think... I mean, obviously, I think it's really good that you're reading books. However... just get with the program, mate, and do audiobooks because that's what everyone's doing.
I do
that's
in
what
the car, but
doing.
I don't count them in my list.
I've learnt from.
Now.
I've moved away. That was in my back.
Yeah, it was.
I was walking. I was leaving the room, Angela.
Sorry, John.
I was just about to talk about what young people do, like Will and I, because Will doesn't have a bank card anymore. Will just uses it. Well, you revealed, Charlie, whilst you are young, that you still carry a bank card, which I think like is so 2024. Like, I think it's on the phone, just like get with it.
Yeah, what did you do when your battery dies?
I just like just to call upon the goodness of people.
Yeah, that works well in London, doesn't it?
I have a bank card and a backup bank card, and I have paper money hidden behind my phone. So I'm only pretending to be young and cool, and I don't think it's coming across.
No.
But congratulations, Angela, on
having
those trees cut down so that you could perform badly because the books have accents that you're unable to do in your own head. Mean enough?
What if I only read books that are written
books about Northerners and Australians? You name me one novel now where the two protagonists are. Steve was just about from Australia. He met Susan, who was a generic Northerner. I think I can say on the line is Jess. Hello, Jess.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you? I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you for joining us. This is very, at the moment, I would say you sound 27% smug.
Maybe a little bit more.
Go on, crank it up a bit. Tell us why you're smug.
Yeah, I'm probably quite doubly smug at the moment. So,
go on.
Just got back from a lovely trip to Porto with our friends. Yeah, absolutely amazing. Everything just went so well. And I don't even need to put the cases back in the loft because we're off again to Crete in another few days.
Behave yourself. Yeah.
So just do the laundry and repack.
Well, who do you think you are, Rick Stein? Yeah. Off on your magic weekends. So talk to me. I mean, flying, obviously.
Yeah, well
that's my job done, isn't it, mate? I'm glad you're having a good time, mate.
You should have just lied, Jess. You should have said no. We're swimming.
Yeah, we cycled, actually. Yeah. I've never been to Porto. I would like to go because I like to drink Porto. Did you drink Porto in Porto?
We did, and we went on a thing where you had chocolate and port at the same time, and it completely changed the way the port tasted. It was mind-blowing.
Did it make it taste a bit chocolatey?
Cadbury's.
I'm not really into port, but I was enjoying this now because it really like made the flavour change. It was
I love port. It's like port turbo shandy for wine. Is that a terrible thing to say?
Just as a little note to the listeners.
Don't
start on the port at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Don't pour wicked in it, as nice as it is. And then tell me about Crete.
So it's going to be my husband's 20-year wedding anniversary in June. So we're having a month-long celebration.
I'll tell you right now, Jess. John, he's definitely going to want to take you down for that.
Yeah, this is unbearable, Jess. Absolutely unbearable. I think this is the first one where I'm going to have to get in, intervene physically. I'm so nauseated by the wonderful time you're having, and all, because I love port and I love Crete. I had a very special holiday to Crete when I was younger. Mm. You can have some gyros where fold chips into a kebab. So anyway, what I'm saying is everything's going well for you. If you would be so kind enough to send our producer your flight details, I'm going to come and intervene on a physical basis. It's the first smugness. I am just going to turn up and ruin your holiday. It sounds like everything's going too well for you, Jess. Is that all right?
I'll do so, yeah.
Thanks.
George, you look genuinely upset about this one.
I'm really looking forward to this, yeah. I'm going to be the guy dressed as a giant banana flinging ninja stars at you. So you'll spot me at the airport. Don't you worry about that.
We'll be in the first class zone.
Well played, Jess.
Okay, I'll get you coming out of the cab. I'm not paying for that. Paul's been in touch.
Yes.
Yeah, Paul. Hello. And then he says a nice thing that I won't read because I think it sounds a little bit sick in your mouth.
It's too much in it when you go, love the show.
Yeah.
That's exactly
what he said. Now I've sort of said it, haven't I?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, smugness. For context, there are plenty of people who don't, I'm sure.
I see the text.
I Do you know, I was going to say they're not listening, but oddly they are.
They are, it's weird.
They love it.
It's like rage listening. They
I
love,
do
they
that.
Do, don't they? Yeah.
Sometimes I find myself watching something, why are you watching this? Oh, it's to make you feel that.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, call the therapist. Anyway.
To all the rage listeners, you're welcome.
I'll contextualize it. Paul says he does love the show, although he says I'm a podcast listener, so he doesn't really.
Oh, yeah, no.
He likes the edited highlights lately. Of the show, and you can listen to the podcast if that's your... what's the word I want there?
I don't know, John.
Flavour?
If that's
your vibe.
Yeah, vibe works there.
It does work, but does
it
work out of my mouth?
It works when you say it.
Charlie says it doesn't work. The furrowed brow says I should not be saying that. Anyway, Paul says his Saturday mornings are a bit busy.
Is he doing part run, mowing the lawn?
I'm not sure. He doesn't go into it. Probably charity work in it. We live on the London Marathon route and usually download the app to track any interesting fun runners, athletes or celebs we see on the TV coverage. I didn't know that was a thing you could do on the London Marathon app.
I know you can track
stalk individuals.
Yeah, I track my husband when he does his runs, does his little runs.
You track your husband?
I track him. Not 24/7 when he's doing a marathon.
On an app or with a chip you've put in him?
No, on an app.
On an app? Yeah. But you can specify a single runner and follow them around the route?
Yeah, because
that's crazy.
On their little number that they pin to their... There's like a little chip in it and you can follow them around the route.
Wow.
Yeah.
The world is just wonderful, isn't it? Has he ever veered off and you have to ring him and go, Paul?
His first 100-miler he did about 106 miles because he went the wrong way.
Wow. And you just watched it happen.
What a wally.
Oh, he's going to be hungry when he gets in. Anyway, he's watched a lot, Paul. Paul has watched a lot of people running around. Mm. This is on the subject of smugness, I guess, really. This is everybody running the London Marathon.
Yeah.
He said, this year I have a new challenge to find Emily, the runner you refuse to belittle in the smugness section. Are you going soft, John, he says. Emily Marchant, and she is runner 2100 on Saturday. So perhaps as absolute listeners, we can get behind Emily, who is, of course, if you weren't listening...
She was our bride.
Hindu hero.
Hungover... the marathon?
Got on the podium in the Brighton Marathon. She'll be there tomorrow for the London Marathon.
Yeah.
So,
find her on the app.
Is there an update on how the party planning is going for Saturday night and hence how hungover she'll be the following morning? I'm not going to give her a hard time, but surely, this is a good sentence, I'm not going to give her a hard time, but surely if she finishes anything below third, she should be getting her smugness bashed.
Ooh.
So if she doesn't podium at the London Marathon, she deserves
to be torn apart. I never thought I'd find somebody tougher than you when it came to bringing
down
smugness, John, but Paul is harsh.
Well, Paul is in a position to shout. He says, any recommendations for heckles for people
running?
He's
right on the route.
He's asking, how can I heckle people? This is right where I'm at.
I mean, I've got recommendations, but I can't say them on air, John.
This is a man saying I am there and I'm willing to take people down doing the London Marathon. So if you've got suggestions for
Paul... Just tell them
they've
stepped in dog mess. Got something on his shoe, mate.
8-12-15, 0330-123-1215, johnabsoluteradio.co.uk. Paul is asking, what can he heckle runners doing the London Marathon? Mm. I think, you know, if Paul's there, I don't need to take down the smugness. I might do next week.
Yeah.
Because he then goes on, what's with the leniency on the literally police, John? Lock them up, ! Remember, you are not the nice guy. We expect more.
Is Paul all right? Wow.
Oh, can't work out. If he starts with loving the show and he ends with you are not the nice guy. All over the shop, my relationship with Paul. Anyway.
You're a bit scared of Paul? You wouldn't want to meet him in real life, would you?
Good news for Paul. There's a lot going on in the literal police this week.
Oh.
I'm going to be very nasty to somebody doing a very nice thing.
Oh, exactly.
Coming up.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Literal police coming up very soon.
Exciting.
But before then, a little sideswipe from the police. Just a little investigation we've got going on the side.
Right.
Related to, sadly... a wonderful thing that's happening. Our friends from Hometime, Bush and Richie.
Oh, lovely Bush and Richie.
They're doing a good thing, John. It's a big old challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
You did a bit of it last time, didn't you?
I did.
You got on your bike.
I did get on my bike. It was exhausting. I only did it for about 5 minutes.
Well, they're going from Goodison Park to the Emirates. Ooh. So Liverpool to London. It's over 200 miles.
Wow.
They're raising money for Cash for Kids.
It's all good so far, John.
So, yeah, summertime hunger. It is incredible. We're fully behind it. We invite you, the listener, to support Bush and Richie in their efforts.
I feel a buck coming on.
However.
Yeah, that's...
Judith's been in touch. Now, this is not me. This is Officer Judith, who heard something during one of the interviews this week. People talking about the wonderful thing that Bush and Richie... Worth pointing out, Bush is already in prison. He's already been in prison by the literal police.
We only let him out to do the bike ride.
He's on release for his bike ride. Imagine how furious he's going to be if he loses his riding partner, Richie. So here's Judith.
Hi, John. On Tuesday, Richie from Home Time was describing his bike training for Everton to the Emirates, and I'd like to call him out. He said his back literally broke, and I hope not, because I've sponsored him on his bike ride. Please sort this out for me and send the literal police to him from me. Love the show. Love Judith and Hereford.
Was there a little cat in the background of that?
I think there was
a little cat, Judith. There was a little meow in the background.
Nice to hear the cat. Nice to know she's sponsored.
Lovely. Well
done. So now I'm in a difficult position. I don't want to imprison a guy going on a bike ride, but I don't want to disrespect the wishes of a literal police officer who's put her money where her mouth is.
I think we're going to need to see x-rays.
Let's hear the crime.
And it is literally back-breaking work.
It's like almost like prison chain gang type stuff.
Very much so.
Literally back-breaking work. Oh, mate. I mean, that's a slam dunk, isn't it?
I think it is. Obviously, because we have access to Bush and Richie, we're able to put that to them. You're entitled to a defence. We live in a democracy.
We do. Just about, still.
This is their response on last night's Home Time.
Now, listen, you can hear the two of us chatting there.
Yeah.
If I had actually committed a crime...
Literally,
you would have picked me up on it.
Well, I'm not sure because I've made a mistake and been caught by them myself previously.
We're both offenders. Oh, yes, good point.
Now, it's an open and shut case, isn't it?
Morality isn't a spectrum. You know, you can't do lots of good and then get away with bad. That's not how it works.
No, his back is not literally broken.
It's not literally broken. It's a slam dunk. It doesn't matter what you're doing for charity.
As for calling on another criminal to back him up.
Well.
That's like saying, well, you were there when we broke into the bank. Why didn't you tell me we went alone? You should have said that wasn't our money from the start. All I can say is we will suspend the sentence since they're setting off on Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll let them get the ride done.
I'm going to give him a week to get that ride done.
Yeah.
And then, well, then we'll see.
then just have to watch
that
out.
That sentence doesn't end well, but then we know what's coming. But do get behind them this week. He's got 1 week left. He's got 1 week of freedom. Mm. Let's get as much money as we can. It's a massive challenge. Goodison Park in Everton, all the way to the Emirates. All that money is going to help feed children who will not have access to hot meals during the school holidays. So if you can, get over to absoluteradio.co.uk/bike to donate to a condemned man.
That's the sound that I'm... Literally.
Police. I love that jingle.
It's good, isn't it?
I really love it. I get really excited every time it plays.
I know. Well, Paul and Mike have been in touch before we move on. Mm-hmm. Defences for Richie. It's the same one.
Yeah.
I don't know. They both say, in defence of Richie, he says it is back-breaking work, not that his back was broken. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's back has ever been broken or... there is a possibility that a back may be broken in the process of doing that work, then it's fine.
But is it not then potentially back-breaking work, not literally back-breaking work? Because if it's literally back-breaking work, where's the evidence?
That's why, I mean, hod carrying is back-breaking work. Yeah. That's what you would say. It's a back-breaking job. But if you say it's literally back-breaking work, you are saying that it always...
A back has literally been broken.
In the process of doing this job, backs are broken.
Yeah. I want to see evidence. I want to see x-rays. I want to see medical reports. I want to see broken backs.
It's on file. As we said, it's a suspended sentence, so we'll return to it next week.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see a defence come in. It's good to think there are people out there listening and think, do you know what? I'm going to stick up for a good man who's trying to raise money for kids.
Yeah.
It gives me faith to know, as a poisonous little rat, it's nice for me to know there are good people out there. And after we had an email earlier, I think from another Paul, saying you've gone a bit soft on the literal police, let me be clear, last week I locked up Peter Crouch and Dermot O'Leary. So
Yeah, he did.
These accusations, I mean, we're talking about media heavyweights, former England internationals, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you are, does it, John? You will put them away.
I do what I need to do, mate.
I think you're tough. You're a tough man.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't think tough men react like that when people say, you're a tough man. Do you? Can you tell everyone that I'm tough? Now, we go to Helen this week. Right. She's been in touch with an offence. Again, took place on radio on a Saturday at a different station. Pains me to give
them
the airtime.
There's other stations.
Not as far as I'm concerned. Let's hear what Helen's got to say.
Hi, Rico and Barnsley. I'd like to report a literal crime, an offence that has taken place on the airwaves. Ryland Clark, lock him up and throw away the key. He used the word literally 3 times in the space of 32 seconds. I had to turn off before I gouged my googly eyes out and shoved them into my ears. Please investigate this as a matter of urgency. I, like you, John, have very few friends. I'm Baxley.
Oh, I like Helen.
I tell you, it's hard not to see that as voice note of the year so far.
Oh, what an energy she's got.
Not a lot wrong with that. Rico and Barnsley for a kickoff.
Immediately, she's in.
Exceptional. The little pause and then an offence. Loved that. The specific timings, the number of uses, down to the second.
32 seconds.
Oh, I tell you what.
Oh, Helen, you're part of the gang.
This clip now could be of Ryland singing a beautiful aria perfectly and never even using the word literally. And he's still going to jail.
Too right.
Because that accusation, that's just, if that happens in a court film, that person's going
down. Do you know what I think we should do?
Mm-hmm.
We should take Jeff's whoop out of your gang cheer.
Put Helen in. Helen's part of the crew.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I mean, whatever this is, he's going down. But here's Ryland.
Leanne, literally, I'm not going to lie to you. I am fresh off a flight. Were you literally 6 years old when you released this song? Because you look 12, darling.
About now,
you
Matt
literally
tired.
Look. Don't look a day over 20.
It's what, tricky, this. What,
actually, because literally, I'm not going to lie to you.
Great.
And then he didn't
and
lie.
And he didn't lie. Literally, not going to lie, you look 6 years old.
Yeah. Maybe were you did. 6 years old? Were literally, you were 6 years old. That one's all
and
right.
And then the other one, the last, they're all fine.
It's that
I
last one again, though, isn't it? Literally, you don't look a day old over, you don't look over 20.
But she might not, we don't know.
But is it like that literal thing?
Literally,
you don't look over 20.
Yeah, I think that's fine, John.
Oh, no.
I hate to say it. Oh, Helen, I so badly wanted you to be right. And do you know what she is right about? It's annoying.
It's overuse, is what it is.
It's overuse.
It's overuse of literally. I think that is, he's got to go in for a week. Just
well,
for
maybe
over
he needs to go on a literally awareness course. I think that's what needs to happen.
I think, now look, it's really tricky as well because I've been accused of being soft this week. So what I'm going to say is this. It's overuse.
Yeah.
He's certainly endorsing the crime if he's not committing it himself. I think the last one is dubious. Since we've got a cell put aside for Richie, and Richie's doing a wonderful thing this week, I think we should allow Ryland to go in. Keep the bed warm, maybe put some soft furnishings around.
It'll be like a short, sharp shock. Give him a week in the prison, and then he'll learn, and he won't do it again.
There we go. Angela Barnes says a short, sharp shock works. Ewan has reached out to the literal police. This one I might find difficult.
Hi, John and Angela. I'd like to report a literal crime. While listening to the commentary of your beloved Leeds United play Stoke City, a result which literally saw you promoted, after Leeds' second goal, the commentator announced that Leeds have quite literally taken Stoke City to the cleaners. I believe he needs to be locked up for this. Thanks, Ewan from Norwich.
I don't know. I guess we'd have to hear the commentary of Leeds United's 6-0 victory over Stoke that brought us back in the Premier League.
I deliberately didn't ask you about Leeds today, just in case. Because I don't know anything about football, as we know.
Smugness mentioned 2 Premier League grounds earlier, didn't say there's a new Premier League ground coming next year. Anyway, let's have a listen.
Theme, John.
I can't be unbiased here, so you're going to have to do this.
I feel like I have to step in here. That surely, right, I was going to say PE kits, that's not what they're called, is it?
Football
what do they
kits.
Wear? Football kits. Like, yeah. They get quite dirty when you play football.
Yeah.
And maybe what happens is the winners do take the losers' kits to the cleaners. Does that happen?
They don't even touch those. Stoke kits will have to be destroyed after what Leeds United did to them. They'll have to completely redesign the kit. I can't be unbiased. I'm delighted to say that Steve Hothersall himself, his wonderful commentary, made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up that one. He's been in touch with his defence. Let's let the man himself defend himself.
Hey John, it's Steve Hothersall here. I believe during my Leeds versus Stoke commentary I somehow shoehorned the word literally into the action. Hands up, it's a fair cop. Clearly the Leeds team did not take the Stoke players to the cleaners literally. But come on, you love your Leeds and they were literally awesome. And if I said Joel Peru was literally like Pelé in the 1970 World Cup final, then again I'd be right but wrong and I may never use the word again. But Leeds were literally awesome.
Case dismissed.
Well,
let
I like
the man go
you.
Free.
As a judge, you are impartial and fair.
Absolutely.
And unable to be influenced.
Literally awesome. Look out, Premier League. There's a new dog fighting to not finish 20th.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
You're listening to John Richardson and Angela Barnes. And Angela Barnes with
I'm
a
ready,
face
I'm
that
on it.
Tells me she might have just said something horrendous. No,
well, no, I just
there?
Will just said we've got 9 seconds and I was all chilled. I went 90 seconds. I went, no, nine. I was all and I had to grab my headphones.
Would it have been different after 90 seconds?
No.
Trying to think what you would have done with that 81 seconds. Hang on, I'll just write a long poem.
I might add another cookie.
We are about to do the news that wasn't in the news, that should have been in the news.
But
before that, one of the things we've been discussing today is early childhood memories, first childhood memories,
oh, yes.
After I questioned the validity of all of them.
Mm.
Barry from Swindon. And that means you always get read out. Someone
yeah.
comes in from Barry from
you
Swindon.
You love a bit of Swindon, don't you?
Gone a different way from Rico and Barnsley. Good morning, ooh. John and Ms. Maidstone.
Oh, I definitely was never Ms. Maidstone. I feel like I should have a sash.
Yeah, I'll get you a sash.
Yeah.
Do you want it to say Maidstone on it or something else?
Maidstone's fine, yeah.
Maid of stone.
Maid
like
of stone
roses.
About right, yeah. I am
a
Kentish
tune.
Maid, not a maid of Kent.
What does that
so
mean?
There's the River Medway that runs through Kent.
Yes.
If you're born on the north of it,
yeah.
you are a Kentish maid. And if you were born on the south of it, you're a maid of Kent or a man of Kent and a Kentish man.
I'm going to move on because there's
you asked.
No, but it's not the fact I like.
Yes.
The risk of you mispronouncing a word
right, okay,
is
fine. Yes,
too
I see
much
what you're
for me
yeah.
to bear. Barry says, I have an oddly specific memory from when I was a toddler. Now I can't get made of stone. The stone was I listened to that, I reckon, 15 times on a loop playing pinball on a PC.
Oh.
I lost weeks of my life trying to get a high score on pinball just listening to that song in a way that if anyone had known I was doing it, they should have intervened.
I say, that sounds like a breakdown.
It was not a good time. and I'll tell you why. I can tell you what my high score is on pinball and solitaire because I wrote it down and I've kept it to this day.
How old were you at the time?
Ooh, I should have been doing GCSE revision, I think. I have an oddly specific memory from when I was a toddler. My dad used to bring home roadkill. You'll remember that as a kid.
Wow, you're not going to forget that, are you?
I have questioned a lot of people's early memories. I think if you're a kid and your dad's walking in with stuff he's ate on the road, you're going to remember that. It was
yeah.
the early 70s. I remember my mum at the sink stripping feathers from a pheasant.
Oh,
remember the smell. I remember the foot with the exposed tendons that she could make the toes flex and she'd chase me around the house with it. You won't find fun like that on the Xbox.
John, it is Saturday breakfast time.
I think there's a lot to be said. In this day and age, we're all talking about adolescence and the dangers of games and social media.
Mm.
And let's not pretend everything that happened before that was bad. That's all I'll say. Barry's childhood is proof. There's a lot to be said for being able to interact with each other in the multimedia realm.
Yes.
Now, here's my news that wasn't in the news that should have been in the news. Iconic UK coastal town.
Oh, I live in one.
What comes to your mind? You think Brighton. I think Blackpool.
Oh, yeah.
And sure enough, Torquay, of course. Yeah.
Torquay,
iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic UK coastal town declared what? So what we were talking about, Blackpool. it's a headline coming. Declared better for kids than Disney World. You having that?
Blackpool?
Yes. Say it again, please, as if without the question mark at the end.
Better for kids than...
A UK seaside town has been named the best place to keep kids entertained, beating the likes of Walt Disney World and Universal Orlando to the top spot. That is a research carried out by Attraction Tickets with destinations that are so engaging that kids forget about their gadgets.
Is this company based in Blackpool?
I'm not going to go into where they're based or who they might sell tickets for. But the point is, the headline is in the papers that Blackpool is better than Disney World, specifically Blackpool Pleasure Beach. And I'm all for it. I mean, don't mind that as a headline.
No shade on Blackpool. It's been a while since I've been there.
Sounds like you're about to throw shade on Blackpool, mate.
Where did you go on holiday recently, Blackpool or Disneyland?
That's an irrelevance to the debate that we're having, but it's not. I tell you what, there were points I wished I was in Blackpool. It was too hot.
Too hot?
It was too hot. I thought, do you know what I'd like now? 18 degrees, bit of drizzle.
Right,
bit of
yeah.
drizzle to take the edge off.
And in Blackpool, you definitely would have got it, guaranteed.
I'd like to be at the top of a roller coaster, of course I would. I'd like a town view on one side, and I'd like just the bleakness of the sea on the other side, just to have a good think about. So there you go. It's wonderful, Blackpool. You get to Blackpool on a sunny day, you walk the Golden Mile, the smell of the candy floss, you look out to the beach on one side, you've got attractions on the other side, you've got Spoonies, you can get a decent, cheap meal and a couple of bevvies with your lunch.
Yeah.
There's nowhere better on earth.
I'm really having to bite my tongue because there's things I want to say about Blackpool that I can't say on a breakfast radio.
No, but you can say them off air.
I can, and I will.
More context for the campaign to release Richie from literal prison. At the moment, he's on a suspended sentence. We've had two listeners send in a defence.
Yeah.
We've had a text from a very annoyed James in Sheffield.
Oh, dear.
What's he annoyed about? Is he annoyed about the struggle to park now with the World Championships going on? He's not. He says, unfortunately, your caller earlier has sold you a kipper, as Bush and Richie recently did a full section on washing legs in the shower. And she has stolen it. Thank you.
We've inadvertently stolen...
We've pilfered from Bush and Richie.
Oh, no. Now they're going to put us in
prison.
Then
I'll put him in prison when he's on a charity bike ride. What sort of man am I?
Oh, John, what have we done?
I'll tell you what we've done. We've made a decision and we're sticking by it. You've got to do better than that if you want me to change my mind. I've got arguments that have been going on 30 years and I was wrong about, and I will never acknowledge it. Now, news that wasn't in the news that should have been in the news, Angela.
Well, I've got exciting news, John.
Have
it's
you?
Not exciting. It's sort of sad that okay. there are only... Do you like Back to the Future? Are you a fan of Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that about it. People go mad for Back
People
to the Future.
People do. It's not my one. I'd say
I've
The Goonies, Labyrinth, that's my sort of 80s.
Yeah, yeah, there were so many good films in the E.T.,
E.T.
I mean, that's a classic.
Too sad.
Yeah, it's quite traumatic,
well, I wouldn't
isn't
watch
it?
I don't watch any of the sad ones.
Has your daughter watched E.T.? If you...
No, she's the same now. She knows there's a sad bit in it.
Yeah.
Because she's a kid, and I totally agree with her. Why why do they keep putting sad bits in kids' films? To teach them about life?
They always do, like Bambi. My God, that. I'm still traumatised by Bambi. Watership Down. That should not be watched by children.
Oh, there's a dog loose in the woods.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway... The thing I do like about Back to the Future is the DeLorean.
Yes,
like, you know the story
car.
Of the DeLorean cars? Because it was this... John DeLorean was this sort of businessman in Detroit, and he basically got all his rich friends to help fund this... building this car, and they
wouldn't
made...
happen these days.
It wouldn't happen now, no.
See, then going to government. No.
I'm not commenting because I'd like to still have a job next week. But I am.
I'm not going
to
be here, so it's your show.
They made like 9,000 of these cars. They were made in Northern Ireland. Did you know that?
Built I did
in Northern
not
Ireland,
know that.
The DeLorean, and apparently there are only 300 left on the streets of Britain.
You're saying this, though, like you're talking about pandas. And it's not that I'm not sad about, and there's only 300 DeLoreans left in the wild. I can hear
you're
Rattenborough.
You're not the person to talk about, you know, these gas-guzzling
old cars. The privilege of being here next to this, the DeLorean.
I wonder if any of our listeners own a DeLorean. I'd love to have a ride in a DeLorean.
Okay. I tell you what we have got, Angela.
Yeah.
I think we've got listeners who would source a DeLorean in order to be able to take you out for the day in the car.
Okay, that's slightly worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I can see my agent now listening to this. He's going to text me in a minute, go, don't accept any rides in a DeLorean, please.
I think Will's not going to be getting so many itch emails this week. Might be coming from people who have itches, but that won't be what the email's about. Do you really want to go in a DeLorean?
I'd love a ride in a DeLorean, yeah.
And there's only 300 left.
There's only 300 left, apparently, that are roadworthy and taxed in this country.
I would say that's about 298 more than I expected. If you told me there was two, I would have believed you.
But yeah.
I think that's staggering. I actually
there's
think
300.
There are too many DeLoreans left.
But 9,000 were made for this country. That's
in
quite
the
a
80s?
Lot. Yeah. But they're a classic car, so you keep hold of you. You
I think was made in the 80s, and I'm staggered there's still one of me left. Never mind the DeLorean. All right, well, are you putting it out there? You'll go in a DeLorean?
Well, if you've got a DeLorean, send me your police check, and I'll consider going for a spin with you.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Earlier today, as we draw to a close, we heard from Helen.
Yes.
One of the great voice notes.
Oh, yeah, that was... Oh, we liked her. She's in the gang right now.
Would you like to hear from her again?
Oh, definitely.
Because it turned out
there
was a little bit more to her message that Will did not want to include.
But
luckily,
right?
Charlie got on the case.
Will edit a message?
Will might have taken out some of Helen's criticism of his own work. Shall we hear from Helen again?
Will.
I'd just like to add, Will, the email you sent me, full of mistakes. Full of mistakes. I think perhaps you need to report yourself to John. Show him that email. See what he makes of it.
Right, let's have a look. I've just been handed the email, mm-hmm. John. Have you got it?
I've got it, yeah. Don't think it's that bad.
I can't
bad.
See any mistakes.
Has the email been redacted as well?
You have, haven't you?
Yeah, there's bits
he's
taken out. He's edited his email.
He hasn't put a full stop after the emoji. Should you put a full stop after an emoji? I do.
I think you should put a full stop and not an emoji, but then I am of an age. Well, I don't think an emoji is an appropriate workplace. That is a work email that
That's
you sent
true.
To a listener or a colleague, as I like to think of them. right, team. We have discussed today early memories, as
yes.
I sort of questioned the validity of some. Simon, age 52 and a half, from Llanelli in South Wales.
Already I like Simon.
My vivid memory is a disaster that befell me in the first year of reception, so I would be 4 years old. So I can believe that.
Yeah.
I think I remember my first day of reception. I remember being sent up table by table to get our pudding as we'd eaten our dinner. As a custard lover to this day, I was delighted to see we had spotted dick and custard. I was so excited after collecting my bowl of custard heaven, I made my way back to my seat with a skip, only to trip and send the entire contents of my bowl across the floor, immediately bursting into tears. The teacher said it was okay, sent me to get another bowl of happiness. The tears stopped immediately. I got my second bowl of custard, only returned to my seat via the same route where I slipped on the previous portion of custard. Lost my second. Suffice to say, the teacher was not impressed, and I did not get a third bowl of custard.
Oh, Simon!
Sorry, Simon.
Oh, that's so something I would do as well.
I knew you'd remember it for the rest of your life, and you'd develop a custard fixation.
You would.
We've also discussed reading books and the alternatives.
Right, we've had a text on this.
Oh, haven't we just?
We have, from Brent.
Yeah.
Brent Fantastic, he calls himself.
Good name.
I don't think that's his real name.
No.
I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Brent says, what's the problem with scrolling or playing video games? If I read a book about something like dragons or witches, he's putting an apostrophe in a plural there, but I'm going to overlook that,
well,
John.
Witches what?
How does that make someone better than somebody who scrolls or plays video games? I didn't say
it's not about what you said. There's no context in the wrap-up, Angela.
With
just...
Instagram or video games, it is about moderation, and I was scrolling too much, so I'm trying to
you
read more.
You don't need to justify yourself. All you need to know is you've pressed Brent's buttons and he has replied in kind. Likewise.
Well, he's pressed mine with that grammar.
No context for this. If you want to listen to the podcast of the show to find out why John from Cambridge sent this in, but he says, hi, John and Angela, my wife Linda still uses a checkbook mainly for funeral gifts. I'm not going to tell you what that's about if you didn't hear the conversation at the time.
Are you supposed to take gifts to a funeral?
Yeah, I think so. Do you not?
Oh,
ooh,
God.
How rude.
I need
how
to make
rude.
Amends.
Turning up in your flowery dress. Inappropriate. The podcast will be available wherever you get them. What would you like to call this week's
well,
podcast,
Well, I've been
Angela?
Thinking about this. I think that We All Eat Bird Poo is
is a bit on the nose. Right. So I've gone guano with Barno.
Oh, it's lovely stuff.
You like it?
Guano with Barno, available wherever you get your podcasts. Sarah Champion up next. Thank you for all your texts and emails today. It's been an absolute treat. Thank you to Angela. Have a wonderful week. Good
and
luck
you,
to you, Will. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Oh,
thank
yes.
you, Charlie, for all your endeavours. And good luck to Leeds United in the Premier League.
It's very difficult to say The John Richardson Show. Can you say The John Richardson Show?
This is The John Richardson Show.
There we go. That's it for this week. Thank you very much. Thank you to you, Angela. Good
Thank
luck
you
on
for
tour
having
this
me.
Week.
Cheers, mate.
And we will see you back with another show next week, live on Absolute, 8 till 11. If you fancy it, if you just want to stick with the podcast, but get in touch, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for your interactions. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.